And now let's take a trip back in history to the island of Jamaica in 1831, just after Christmas. A peaceful slave revolt began, and while unsuccessful, the ideas that it seeded led to the end of slavery in the British Empire. The little-known piece of history sparked the interest of author Tom Zellner, and he dove into its history in his latest book, Island on Fire. I spoke with him more about what it was like in Jamaica at the time and how it all began.
Jamaica was the Wild West as far as England was concerned. This was the frontier. It was the place where if you were sort of a guy looking to make a fortune quickly, you would catch a ship for Jamaica. No one would give you life insurance because you were almost certain to die when you were there. An astonishing 10% of the island's white population died every single year of tropical diseases. And so the idea was to get rich fast or die trying. And if you could get rich fast, it meant that you had an income that was nearly 50 times that of any settler in New England. And so this was the real vulgar, garish wealth that powered the British Empire and helped fuel the Industrial Revolution, all on the backs of slaves, of course.
Right, right. So that's where this story sort of begins. And it sounds like what became a slave rebellion started as not that, started as something more like a peaceful labor strike?
Yes. The brutality of slavery, of course, can't be overstated. The conditions were horrific. And in the 1820s, white missionaries began to finally be allowed into Jamaica. They were viewed with huge suspicion because they were going to do something very dangerous, which was teach enslaved people how to read. One of them was a man named Samuel Sharp, who had been first empowered to become a deacon in the Baptist church. And he also had the liberty to move amongst the sugar estates to give Bible lessons. And he began to preach some dangerous verses from the New Testament, particularly those centering on freedom, especially one, no man can serve two masters. Mm. These verses were considered too hot to handle by the established church. And he began to fuse this idea that slavery is against God's law. And I've read in the newspapers, because he was literate, he could do this. I read in the newspapers that people back in England want us to be free. Hmm. And that was partly true. There was an abolitionist movement that was growing in England. And so with this pro-liberty message fused with the news and also with Bible verses, he laid the plot for what would become the biggest slave uprising in the British Caribbean.
Wow. How did it escalate from a more peaceful strike to what it became?
Most of his followers were indeed peaceful and sat down and refused to work. A small contingent took the opportunity to start burning down the sugar estates. Massive fires engulfed the island. Every witness to these set of events described just how almost beautiful the fires were, even though, you know, it was a fortune going up in flames. And remarkably, the death toll when this was all over among Jamaican whites was extremely low. Almost everyone who followed Sam Sharp did take the admonition not to hurt anybody very seriously. But of course, the death toll among the enslaved rebels was very high. The real result of this, you know, it was quashed. It lasted for 5 weeks. But news of this hit the shores of Great Britain in late January, and it set off another explosion of a political kind. This engendered enormous disgust back in Britain. And from a humanitarian point of view, obviously, but also from an economic point of view, that, you know, can Britain really continue to maintain this permanent military footprint guarding against these slave revolts? It's, you know, sort of similar to the somewhat cold-blooded discussions that we have in the United States when it comes to the cost of overseas wars. Mm-hmm. This just becomes a huge drain on the treasury. And so a combination of those arguments persuaded Parliament to abolish slavery throughout the empire, which was achieved in August of 1834. And that was just 18 months after the first fires of the rebellion were lit. So this was a real intriguing paradox, a dazzling outcome. It was a slave rebellion that failed on the ground, but succeeded enormously in a political context.
That's fascinating. So then let's talk about the sort of ripple effects that this had around the world and throughout history. You mentioned the effect in Great Britain. How did that sort of carry on and affect things beyond that?
Yes. I mean, this happened 3 decades before the United States came to its own, you know, bloody reckoning with this institution of slavery. And there's a lot of evidence, a lot of persuasive evidence to suggest that this was a major force in fueling the United States abolition movement, causing Southern interests to hustle the state of Texas into the Union faster than it normally would have. And certainly it provided a wonderful positive example of how a nation could come to a relatively peaceful end to an incredibly violent system. That Britain, after this revolt, outlawed slavery in a way that cost the nation far less than it would eventually cost the United States.
I want to end, Tom, with a process question here. So, I mean, you're using primary sources to dig into this, and you're talking about events and people that a lot of us probably have never heard of. First of all, I mean, how did you pick this topic? How did you come to this as your next book?
There was an image that I came across that I just could not get out of my mind, which was that a German visitor to Queen Elizabeth I in 1598 observed that the queen never smiled. And it turned out she was embarrassed to do so because her teeth had been worn down to little black stubs. And the visitor surmised that this was because of the British love for sugar. And he was not wrong, that the famous British craving for sweets was a full-blown addiction that places like Jamaica made all too possible. I started reading into sugar, and I came across this, what I consider an enormously important inflection point in history that was far too little known.
That was my conversation with Tom Zellner, author of the new book, Island on Fire, The Revolt That Ended Slavery in the British Empire.